Good morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 22, from verse 11 to verse 23. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset around me. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto thy brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel.
I'm reading Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by man, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
This reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18.
and starting to read in verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, king of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar."
Continuing in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and taking up the reading from verse 13. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat him down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said one to another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled: "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced."
I trust that what we've read, what we've sung, will cause us to focus on the Lord himself. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was..." "And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The events that we are remembering today started at the beginning of time. In fact, in eternity past, right from the beginning, Jesus was there with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit. And they made man. And they knew that man would sin. They didn't make him a robot so that he was perfect. They made him a living human being in the image of God. But they gave him the opportunity to be disobedient. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They were disobedient. They had all the glory of creation. And they had one thing they weren't supposed to do. And that was the thing they wanted to do. It's no different to us, is it? You know, if we go around sometimes and we think we would just like that thing that somebody else has got rather than ourselves, even though we might have plenty. They had the choice of all those fruits in the garden except for one tree. And yet they were disobedient. As a result of that, Jesus went to the cross at Calvary for your sins and mine. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. It wasn't a sudden event. It was there in God's mind right from the very beginning of time. And we've read readings from the Psalms, from Isaiah, forecasting exactly what was going to happen. These things don't happen by chance. People might say coincidence, but we know that God is in control and He guides His people. I want us to look this morning just briefly at different people that were involved in the circumstances surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to think, where do I fit into that? Because I guess somewhere along the line, each one of us could, if you like, be one of the characters there. Are we like Judas Iscariot, going along with the crowd, and yet being quite deceitful, being the one who held the money for the disciples and taking some away, being one who, even though he'd been with Jesus for those 3 years, was prepared to sacrifice him for a small amount of money. There are people like Judas Iscariot around today who give the impression of being involved with Christian work and yet are prepared to sell our Lord down the line. Or are we like some of those religious leaders? They were there and they were jealous. They were jealous because people were flocking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take Palm Sunday and the crowds that were there. And they were jealous. I don't think they were jealous because they thought that they had the right way of doing things. I think they wanted to keep their own comfortable position. And sometimes church leaders today want to do just that. They want to fit in with the authorities so that the boat isn't rocked. They're quite happy to compromise and not stand firm for the truth. and not recognize the truth. There are those who stand in places deeming themselves to be Christian and yet compromising the Word of God. God's Word is infallible. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. And we need to stick by it, all of it. Those religious leaders were only concerned, really, for themselves. They were envious. They were legalistic. And they were wanting to keep their power. What about Pilate? Pilate, in the end, recognized that Jesus was innocent. And yet he struggled as well. I like the bit where Jesus was before Pilate and Pilate said, I've got power to crucify you, to release you. You know, and I don't know, but I smile at that because he hadn't got a bit of power there without God in charge. God's allowing this to happen. Sometimes people get the impression that they've got power when they haven't got any at all. You know, and it's easy, isn't it, sometimes to do that. And Pilate was wanting to please the people. He was scared to stand firm for what he believed. We need to stand firm for what we believe. And when the crowd sort of said, "We have no king but Caesar," you know, that was such a deceitful thing because they hated Caesar, really. But they were there trying to get rid of Jesus. He was having such an effect on people that it was mucking up the, if you like, status quo. What about the soldiers? You know, Jesus was there on the cross and they were parting his raiments. And they were deciding that, you know, that special cloth that was seamless, well, they didn't want to break it up. They didn't want to cut it up so that we each had a quarter. They were going to cast lots on what was happening. They were immune, if you like, from the effects that they just crucified somebody. They're just doing their job. And some people are like that, just doing their job. Dealing with different things, but not really taking any notice of what was actually happening. What about the centurion? After Jesus had died, what does he say? This man truly was the Son of God. It may be that each one of us have got to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Most of us have, but if any of you haven't, then now is the time to acknowledge Jesus for who he was and who he is. Others were there. There were two men, murderers, one on either side of Jesus, being crucified as well. Their reactions were very different. One was saying, basically, if you're who you claim to be, then get us down off these crosses. You know, only interested in it from his point of view. The other one said, look, we're here because we've done things wrong. This man has done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus' reply was, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What more could that man have asked? What more can we ask that we might know that one day we should be with God in paradise? What about John, his disciple? He was at a distance, but just watching what was going on. Sometimes we can be keeping at a distance, watching what's going on. And there were the three ladies near to Jesus. Mary, his mother. Mary, wife of Cleopas. Mary Magdalene. All there together. And if you remember, they were the ones that were down to the tomb early on the Sunday morning. I won't say any more in case I muck up what Andrew's saying, but the fact is they were there, right at the scene, despite of all that was going on, all the humiliation and the rest of it. Jesus was caring for his mother to the last. He said to John, behold your mother, take her into your home. And he did from that point on. Jesus cares about us, even when he was dying on the cross. He went there for us. We need to remember that. We need to respond to his love. Not going to say much more, but just remember that sometimes we can be secret disciples as well. Joseph of Arimathea suddenly became bold, asked Pilate for Jesus' body, had a tomb nearby where Jesus' body could be put. And then we find that Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, he got a whole lot of myrrh and other spices or scents to deal with the body. He came out in the open in the end. If you're a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, be bold. Come out. Stand firm for him. Make your stand there. All of us can probably link up with one of those individuals that I've mentioned. There are others that were there. People who, on the Palm Sunday, were rejoicing at what God has done. But a few days later, we're shouting, crucify him. Could be that we're here on a Sunday, worshipping Jesus, and then our lives during the coming week are very different. And we're, in a sense, denying the Lord Jesus. Somewhere along the line, we would fit in with one of those people. Let's just make sure that we know Jesus for who he really was. Respond to his love and look forward to being with him in glory. Amen.